Live from the Oxygen Community Studios, we are the Burns and Gambo Show, and we are officially 25 hours away from the start of the 2018 NBA Draft, for which, for the first time in franchise history, the Phoenix Suns have the number one pick overall in that draft. It is an exciting time around here, even though we know exactly what's going to happen at number one. So much so, as we talked about earlier, Bovada, the gambling website, put out odds on who's going to be the number one pick. It's not even worth your time or your money betting on it.
No.
The odds are so in favor of DeAndre Ayton being the guy, it's not worth your time or your money.
Yeah, if you wanted to win $1,000, you'd have to probably put up your house. I want to win $1,000. How would I got to do?
Put your house up. You know,
yeah.
Take out seconds on every piece of property you own, and even then, you might win like $10. I mean, yeah. He is the...
Sell your goats.
Oh, are your goats worth that much?
No, I didn't think so.
Yeah, I didn't think
no.
so.
No, not get any goat cheese out of them or anything, no.
So we know what's going to happen there, and we're excited about it. I'm not trying to minimize for a second DeAndre Ayton, because that's a big deal. All right, but we've known about this for weeks now. What we don't know is what's going to happen after that, and in particular, what the Suns at 16 are going to do. And with that in mind, Gambo, I came across this, and it was tremendously interesting to me, and I think it will be to the audience as well. This comes from Jonathan Wasserman and his Twitter account this morning. He's the lead NBA scout and draft writer for Bleacher Report. He used to be with NBADraft.net, okay? Which
yes.
I believe is your favorite mock draft NBA draft site, right?
It's the only one I look at.
Okay.
It's the only one I'll just take a look at, because you can get a lot of information on there besides just mock draft.
Tweeted out this morning, latest buzz, hearing Michael Porter and Trae Young are both falling, and that even the Knicks could pass on Young at 9. Meanwhile, Wendell Carter is gaining steam, strong candidate to go in the 4-7 range. Now, you made that sound just a second ago, and I made that sound this morning when I saw it. Tell me why you made that sound.
Because that's the two players that I've identified as players that the Phoenix Suns would want to move up for.
Indeed.
Two players that they would like to move up for in that 7-11 range. I've only given you two. One was Michael Porter, and the other one was Trae Young. That's it. That's the two guys they want to move up for. They would give up 16. They would give up 31. And, I think they might have to give up something else as well, whether it's a player or another draft pick. I don't think 16 and 31 get you to 7 or 8. I don't think it does. They may try that, but I don't think a team's dropping 7, 8, 9 spots and only picking up the 31st pick in the draft.
Oh, I totally agree. Oh, it's going to take more than that.
Yeah.
It's going to take, you're going to
have to give up another first.
Yeah, you're not going to get to where you want to go. But if you really like Trae Young, or if you really like Michael Porter Jr., is it worth your number one pick next year? Milwaukee's number one pick next year? Not number one pick.
You're assuming that you're not picking in the top five. You're assuming that you're going to be better next year and you're not going to pick in the top five. You're assuming your pick next year is probably somewhere in the 10 to 15 range. You're still a lottery team. You're not a playoff team, but you're assuming that you're going to win more games. You're not going to win 21 games next year. You've got DeAndre Ayton. They got some free agents. I'll talk about that next week. Some guys that could be targeting. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag yet, but we'll talk about some free agents next week after this draft is over. And you're expecting that you're going to be better. You're expecting that last year they were kind of trying to lose bad. They weren't trying to win basketball
games. Right. They weren't trying to lose, but they weren't
trying to win. Next year the emphasis will be on winning basketball games. Are they going to go from 21 wins to 42? No, but they'll go from 21 into the 30s. And if they're in the 30s, you know this, that pick's not a top five pick. So would you give up the 11th pick or 10th or 11th pick in next year's draft to move up to get a guy that you really want right now? I think I would.
Yeah. On these two guys, of course, Michael Porter Jr., the Missouri player who only played a game or two with all the back problems that he had, he got a lot of attention on Monday when he made this comparison of his game to two of the greats in today's NBA.
I'm a mix of Giannis and KD. I like going to the hole a little more than KD does. I like bumping into people a little more physical than KD, but I also, I like to shoot the ball more than Giannis. So that's what I like to compare myself to. And then also Tracy McGrady. I get compared to him a lot, and I like that one a lot, too. Those are three amazing players. So it doesn't feel bad to be in the same conversation as them.
Okay, first of all, it's Giannis, not Giannis.
Giannis!
And secondly,
I would say,
cool your Jets, dude! Cool. Giannis? Durant? McGrady? Slow down. To which he said, you know what? He said the next day, 2 days later, my comparisons, people are blowing it out of proportion.
What's the craziest thing you've heard from the media that's been out there?
Okay, so I got to ask a question. Who do you could compare to in the NBA? And I said, I could compare to Kevin Durant sometimes. You know, I could compare to Tracy McGrady sometimes. And then that goes on Twitter and everybody's like, oh, he's comparing himself to two of the best players ever. I know. I just answered the question. You know what I mean? So I just, you know, it's just one of those things where you can't really control it. But I guess I just got to, you know, watch what I say in the media from now on.
Now, to be fair, I'll go back to something you've been saying about Michael Porter for a couple weeks now. He could be Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
But there's a big difference between saying I could be the next Kevin Durant and, man, I think I got skills that are really similar to Kevin Durant.
Sure, because there are people that compare him to Kevin Durant. There are teams that I've spoken with that feel that he's Kevin Durant-like. So he doesn't need to say anything. I mean, it's already been said about him. He doesn't need to come out and say anything about, hey, I'm as good, I'm like this, and I'm like that. Teams are already saying that you could be a Kevin Durant type of player. So you don't need to say anything, man. Just let it, you know, let everyone else speak for you, because there are teams that are absolutely enamored with his talent.
Yeah,
enamored with it.
Jonathan Giovanni, the lead draft guy for Draft Express and for ESPN, talked about how Porter is a bit more of a risk than Trae Young.
I think it has to be Porter because of the medical situation. Some real question marks about, you know, is he going to play summer league? Does he need to sit out this upcoming season? You know, is that the right move for his health long term in terms of, you know, rebuilding his body, make sure he's perfectly aligned and setting him up long term to be successful? Not all that, you know, dissimilar to what we saw with Philadelphia and Joel Embiid after they drafted him.
Now, Trae Young, okay, is a fascinating idea if you can trade up and get him, because it wasn't that long ago it was thought that he was one of the best two or three players in this draft. And then he slid because the turnovers started to pile up and Oklahoma didn't play very well and they got bounced in the tournament and his stock kind of took a little bit of a hit. He's small. He's short.
Yep.
He's got his own issues. But if he's being identified as somebody the Suns might be willing to move up to get,
sure,
would you just have to go to 12? Is Trae Young there?
You could make a trade at 12 with the Clippers, I think, because they've got two in a row. So you could probably make a trade with them. You know, they'll still get a player right around, you know, 13, and you'll get, you know, you'll get, or you could say, listen, take any player but Trae Young, and we'll take 13. You get your player here. So it doesn't matter either way. And then you make a trade with them. I mean, so if one of those guys falls to 12, God, I can't imagine it. I just can't fathom
it.
That one of those guys could fall to 12. But if it happens, You probably could make a deal. Because, again, the price to move from 16 to 12 is different than the price to move from 16 to 7 or 8.
Yeah,
it's different.
Sure. Follow me here. On NFL draft night, we saw Josh Rosen start to kind of slide a little bit, right?
Right.
And he is 6 and 7 and 8. And we saw the Cardinals do what they did, boom, go up to 10 and get him.
That would be similar.
Tomorrow night, if we're seeing Porter or Trae Young slide, 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 I know what I'm going to be thinking.
Yeah, they're on the phones.
I know what we're going to be talking about during our draft show. Man, I wonder how hard Ryan McDonough and crew are burning up the phone lines to see if they can do what the Cardinals did. Our guy is sliding. Let's go get him.
But you got to remember,
this is part two.
The Cardinals had a deal worked out with Oakland based on if he was there.
Sure.
Okay, so I would imagine the Suns have spoken with certain teams. Hey, listen, if this player is here, here's what we could do. You got to try to get this stuff done in advance.
No doubt.
You've got to make trades in advance because you don't have enough time. Okay, because it just takes too long. So what you do is like, okay, we really like this player and that player. If that player is there, we would be willing to trade you this. Now, there's going to be five teams that are going to tell teams between 7 and 12. If this player's here, we'll give you this, and this. So the team at 7, 8, 9, 10, whether it's Cleveland, the Knicks, Philly, the Clippers, they're going to have a list of teams that are willing to give stuff up. And they're going to know if that player falls, okay, is this worth it? Maybe my player's not there, the one we liked. Our first choice isn't there. Our second choice isn't there. Then you make a trade. The Cardinals had a deal, basically the foundation of a deal worked out with Oakland already, so it was easy. Once Rosen fell, you were able to make the trade.
And I would imagine, to your point,
the Suns have the same thing worked out.
The Suns would have the same thing worked out.
Sure. They know what players, they've already identified what players they want to trade up for. It's Trae Young and Michael Porter.
But based off of that information, which you had a couple of weeks ago, if this slide that is being reported as a possibility actually starts to happen tomorrow,
they could end up with one of those guys.
They could end up with one of those guys.
I'd give up a first next year.
For Trae Young or Michael Porter?
Yeah.
To take a swing on the guy that might be the next Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would.
Or the guy who might be the next Steph Curry?
I got enough draft picks.
Plenty.
I got the Suns pick, the Milwaukee pick, the Miami pick. I'm good. I'll give up one of the picks.
Join 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station at the Suns 2018 NBA Draft Party. It's tomorrow. It starts at 4 o'clock. We are all live from Talking Stick Resort Arena. Go to the events page at arizonasports.com for complete details and to RSVP for the event so you can watch the Suns make their historic number one overall pick with us. A rumor came out yesterday that the Diamondbacks were still in talks about Manny Machado.
What?
A member of the team's front office was asked about it this morning. You'll hear what he had to say about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Hope you're having a great Wednesday, and I hope we get to meet y'all tomorrow down at the NBA Draft Talking Stick Resort Arena. We will do it up the way we always do for big events around here. Big roundtable coverage, I believe, starting at 3 o'clock. Most of the hosts will be down there. We'll all be talking NBA Draft, and we look forward to seeing you there again. Go to arizonasports.com and the events page to figure out how you can get into that party. It requires an RSVP. But I don't know if it's that big of a deal. I think they just need to know if you're coming or not, right? So we look forward to seeing you down there tomorrow. In the meantime, Diamondbacks. And look, it's already been an exciting spring in that the Cardinals moved up to get Josh Rosen. The Suns won the NBA draft lottery and are going to take DeAndre Ayton.
I know where you're going right now.
You know exactly where I'm going. Is it possible that at some point over the next 6 weeks or so, that the Arizona Diamondbacks will complete the fun trifecta and add Manny Machado to the roster?
Wow.
Because that would make one hell of a year, wouldn't it?
I'm doing it. As long as I am in this position that I'm in right now, playing, you know, 7-8 games above 500, I'm in first place, I've got a chance. I've told you all along, does anybody really think the Dodgers are going to sit back and do nothing next year? Like, they're going to... The Dodgers have all the money in the world. You've got to win while you can. This is your year. This is the year to beat the Dodgers. How many division titles in a row have the Dodgers won? Is it five?
I think it's five.
You don't get this opportunity very often. A girl like this doesn't come around very often from the movie Mulan. It was Mulan.
You just quoted Mulan?
Yeah, the movie.
Yeah, I
like
believe you. I just got that
in a generation or something like that.
Interesting.
Trust me, we're not going to start singing Donny Osmond. I promise.
Okay,
I promise.
Good.
I'm not going to sing Donny Osmond.
That would be good.
But like your opportunities, like you don't get this many opportunities. The Dodgers are down, not down all, but they're not what they usually are, which
right.
is a dominant powerhouse team that's going to win the West, and you're going to scrap to try to compete for a wild card. This is your year. It's open. Go for it, man. Go for it. I'm not going to fault you if it doesn't work. But at least go for it, because next year, who's not going to say the Dodgers go out and, like, this year they're not spending a lot of money because they want to get under the tax. Because the way the Major League Baseball works is you can't have 2 years in a row where you're over the luxury tax threshold and you pay the, because then you end up paying a lot more money. You pay like 50 cents on the dollar. So they're trying to stay under this year. So they're going to sacrifice a little bit. So the next year they could go all out and go sign whoever they want to sign.
And they will. And they will. They'll go all out.
Right, so, yeah. So you might not have another opportunity.
John Morosi, well, we mentioned this yesterday, he's with MLB Network. He also does some work for Fox. Tweeted out yesterday afternoon, according to sources, the D-backs and the Orioles have been in contact about a possible Manny Machado trade this season. The dialogue remains open between the clubs. This is viewed as due diligence on Arizona's part as the team's need becomes clear. So, when translated, basically, what it means is the Diamondbacks and the Orioles talked in the offseason about Manny Machado. They continue to talk. Arizona keeps that line of dialogue open because they want to make sure that the Orioles don't do anything with Manny Machado without the Diamondbacks. Exactly.
Right.
Without the Diamondbacks knowing about it. Hey, let's keep the phone lines open here. Let's keep talking about it. I suspect that this might have been leaked by somebody with the Orioles to John Morosi because maybe the marketplace isn't as robust for Manny Machado as it should be. So they're trying to kind of get this out. Hey, the Diamondbacks, we're still talking. You know, we're still thinking about it. This morning on the Doug and Wolf Show, Emil Sade, the assistant GM to Mike Hazen with the Diamondbacks, said, look, we're just doing our due diligence
for
here.
For us, we're just going to do our due diligence on everybody out there. And look, at the end of the day, we have a really good team, a team that's been able to hold first place down. And you know, we've battled some injuries. And, you know, we'll continue to to chug ahead, and we'll see. We'll see what the next 6 weeks leading up to the trade deadline leads up to.
So when will this stuff heat up?
I think it's hard to say when those deals happen. I mean, every year is different, and it depends on the standings and who's in play and who's not. I think it's, in Manny Machado's case, it's up to the Baltimore Orioles. And, anyone else's case, their team decides on when they feel like they're ready to pull the trigger.
But I will say this, and I want to know if you agree with this.
Okay.
The team name that seemingly since the offseason has consistently come up
is
the Arizona Diamondbacks.
I'd worry about the Red Sox. They're getting no production from their first baseman, the Devers kid, at all. Now, Bogaerts...
You mean the third baseman?
Third baseman.
You said first baseman.
The third baseman. They're getting no production from their third baseman at all. Now, they're getting great production at shortstop from Bogaerts, but their third baseman has given them nothing. Now, would the Orioles trade within the division, even if Machado's going to... I don't know. You know, the Yankees... the Yankees are going to have a lot of money to spend next year, so they could make a play for him if they decided to do that. But the Red Sox would be the team that scares me a little bit, the Red Sox. But again, that's trading within the division,
right,
which is something that they may not want to do.
They might not want to do that. We were talking about this deal earlier, and I will agree that I want Manny Machado here too. There's only one condition that I don't want him, okay? If the player that the Orioles are asking for, the Diamondbacks have self-scouted themselves and say, you know what, that guy's going to be an ace. We know that guy is going to be a future number one pitcher in our rotation. You can't do that.
No.
You can't give up that. Now, whether that's John Duplantier or Taylor Clark, I don't know. It's up to the Diamondbacks to scout their own players and understand, we think this guy has this high of a ceiling and this guy has that high of a ceiling. If the guy the Orioles are asking for, you believe, Mike Hazen, you believe that that player has a ceiling as high as a potential future ace, you can't deal him for 3 months of Manny Machado.
Totally agree.
As much as you want to, that's the one guy you can't have.
I agree. You can't give up a prospect you can't give up Max Scherzer.
Right.
Okay, I can't give up a guy who may end up being Max Scherzer.
Every time we watch Max Scherzer dominate, doesn't it just rip your heart out every single time?
I almost try to, and I remember the evaluations that I received when they traded him. Oh, he's probably going to be a reliever. He only has two pitches. That's why they traded him. Probably going to end up being a reliever. Closer. He's got two pitches. That's it. Max Scherzer is one of the three best pitchers in baseball. They made a huge mistake giving up an ace like that.
Yeah, and you know why? They didn't self-scout. They didn't scout themselves as well as they should have. They read Max Scherzer wrong.
Yep.
They looked at him and they read him wrong. They got it wrong.
Yep.
And that's so you can't get this one wrong. If it's John Duplantier and you look at Duplantier and go, man, his stuff is really good. He could be as good as Scherzer one day. You can't deal him.
No.
But if you look at Duplantier and go, he's a
three
fourth
or four.
Starter, he's a three, then move him.
Yep.
I don't care. Move him. You just got to be sure.
Would the other team make a trade for a guy that is, like, they've got to project him as a 1-2, project him as a 3-4.
That's exactly it.
It's got to be different projections. If you all have the same projection, you're not making a trade.
Exactly.
You're not going to be able to make a trade.
But if the Orioles have made a mistake and have scouted a guy on the Diamondbacks roster.
The
of course. Oh, we think he's going to be great. Yeah, sure, you can go ahead and have him. Knock yourself out.
Right.
Just got to make sure your self-scouting report on the guy is correct. And if it is, move him. Move him. I don't care if he's the number one prospect in the Diamondback system. So what? If you self-scouted him and you don't think he's going to be that great, move him.
I'd trade a top 10 prospect for Manny Machado. I mean, I would. Because, again, my feeling is real simple. Go for it now, man. Go for it before before the Dodgers, end up winning five more titles because they spent a lot of money and got great players.
Yep. When we come back, the number one pick appears to be a lock. But if the Suns hold on to the 16th pick, is that selection a done deal as well? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. O'clock tomorrow, the NBA draft begins. Phoenix Suns with the number one pick, the number 16 pick, two picks in the second round as well. We're not as concerned with those unless they're part of a deal to move up or move around or things like that. It's going to be an exciting day around here. We're all kind of gearing up for it. And one guy I know who in particular is geeked out about it, from ArizonaSports.com, He lives it. He breathes it. He sleeps it. He probably dreams about it while he's sleeping it.
That's scary.
It is. But
that's
it,
a little scary.
I think it's actually true in Kellen's case. I think he lives it, breathes it, sleeps it, and dreams it. Kellen Olson from ArizonaSports.com, who literally lives this stuff, right? I mean, this is your Christmas, right?
Happy Christmas Eve today. That's what I'm saying. Happy Christmas Eve.
And you're jacked up about what's going to happen tomorrow, because it sounds like, as you just said right before we went on the air, there is a lot of noise out there about what might happen.
There's just a lot of talk going on from what we can tell and hearing from guys like Gambo and other national reporters around. It seems like everyone is talking about trading up and trading down. Everyone's going everywhere, it seems like, and talking about moving in certain places. And
it won't happen.
Yeah, and it usually won't happen. It's like the 2 to 3 hours where anything could happen. Any trade could happen. Like the Celtics trades a decade ago.
I'm talking to four teams right now. Are you hearing anything? No, man, like there's all this buzz, all these trades are going to happen, and like then nobody's hearing that there's going to be a deal. I think the prospects in this draft are really good. Me and Bernsie have talked about like 1 through 8. Like it would take a lot to be able to move into a spot to go get a Bamba or a Trey Young or a
Porter. I don't understand trading down from there.
Because, you know, and I've gone over this with Bernsie, I'm privileged to some really good information that comes from inside of the NBA's teams. And the probability of getting landing a serviceable player, a good player in this draft, it goes down dramatically as the picks go down from 1 to 2. So if you take the 7th pick or the 8th pick in the draft, the probability he'll be a good player is above 50%. You go down to 16, you're in the 30 percentile. So the chances of that guy being a good player at 16 compared to at 7 or 8, it's a dramatic difference. Why would anybody do it?
For you, where is the line? Where is the line where you say, okay, I love the players from number 1 through number fill in the blank. I really like the players from number blank to number blank. And then after you get to this number, they're just okay. Where's the line for Kellen Olson?
8 seems to be the cutoff, but it seems like 8 won't actually be the cutoff. It feels like, especially from what we've been hearing the past 24 hours, is guys like Trae Young and Michael Porter Jr. could fall out of that group in the top 8. And those are two guys in particular. You're looking at Wendell Carter Jr. doesn't have the sexiest profile as a guy, kind of looks like an Al Horford type. He's a guy that could slip as well. But the top 8 to me is really special. Those are guys who can really be all-star talents. That's not saying the guys outside of there can't be all-star talents, but that's the group. 9 through 14, 15, you're still looking at guys like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Lonnie Walker, Zaire Smith, all have very appealing aspects, but some of those guys are going to take time as well, and they're upside picks as well. Mikal Bridges is a guy who can come in and play a good role right now, but as far as all-star upside, you're not really sure. But trading into the top 7, top 8, from a Suns perspective, 7 and 8 is really where you want to look at.
So you have to give up a lot. It's a lot easier to trade up to 12, as we've talked about. Hey, I can move up to 12. But to get to 7, to get to where the Bulls are or where Cleveland is, man, that team's going to drop down to 16, and they're not going to get a player that they want. They're not going to say, hey, listen, the player we really like is at 16. We're going to be able to get him at 16. You're not.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to entice them with something else, because it's very likely they're going to get an okay player at 16. At 16, you're probably looking at a role player. You're probably looking at somebody who, you know, has a chance to, you know, be a role player, maybe a 6th guy or a 7th guy off the bench. The chances of having a productive starter at 16, it's not very good.
If the rumors are to be believed, and Porter's falling or Trae Young's falling, who's rising? Is it Alexander? I mean, I've read that he's
Kevin Knox.
Kevin Knox. Who's elevated guys? Who's rising right now if those two are falling?
A pattern we see a lot in drafts is a guy breaks out the year before, and it's like, okay, who's the next version of him? Jason Tatum is one of those guys right now, and you're looking at him, 6'8", 6'9", guy, 7-foot wingspan, can do a lot, very athletic, can do all the switching defensively, and can do a lot scoring the ball offensively. A lot of people believe Kevin Knox is the next Jason Tatum. He's not going to be as good as Jason Tatum, or he's not going to profile someone who can be as good as him, but he's a version of him in some senses. And you see him in workouts, 6'9", 6'10", guy, 7-foot wingspan, can knock down 3, shoot off the dribble, create his own shot. Teams see a lot of him. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a name we're hearing a lot as well. Cleveland is reportedly enamored with him, according to ESPN, and at the 8th spot.
Not a fan of his.
He can't shoot. We don't know if he can shoot.
Didn't even play the first half of the season. I mean, not a fan of his. I thought Brunson's a better point guard than him. He's sexy because he's big. Brunson's a better player than him. So I'm not an Alexander fan. Knox, I think, I told you, I think Chicago could take Knox at 7. I've heard, you know, I know the Suns like Knox, but their belief is that there's no way he gets that far. Like, because there are a lot of teams that like him and feel like he could be, you know, one of those versatile wing players that everybody's dying to get.
I know you two have talked, and I know Gambo has come up with names at 16. Based off of how much you've watched and how much you've studied and you learned, who do you like at 16? Kind of cross-reference with some of the guys on Gambo's list that he likes at 16.
Zaire Smith is a guy that jumps out to me immediately as a defensive stopper on the perimeter, because that's what you want Josh Jackson to be, but you pair him and Zaire Smith defensively, you're looking at a signature 1-2 combo where you play those three wings, him, Booker being included in there, obviously, and switch them around and give them different spots. Kid has to shoot, though, and that's the thing about taking a guy in the lottery this year that potentially can't shoot. You are really shooting yourself in the foot there, potentially, and that's the question mark with Smith. But that's a guy who was playing center in high school. He's only 6'4", and that's the position he was playing.
He was playing center in high school?
He was playing center in high school, and he's a kid who has to come into his guard elements. He said he wants to be a point guard, and I mean, when you were a center in high school, and now you want to be a point guard, it's a rapid adjustment that you have to make, but improved a lot. Was a 3-star recruit out of high school. Wasn't a highly acclaimed guy, despite the athleticism we see. And he's a guy that just makes energy plays, knows where to be, and playing center in high school, it's kind of a weird thing, but you know, like being in the high post, making the right passes, seeing the way guys move around the floor, he has a bit of that for a guard, and it's a really weird skill set that he has because of that. But for the Suns, a guy that can make the right pass, can make the right play, has out of this world athleticism, and most importantly, can defend on the perimeter. He's a guy that stands out to me at 16.
I played power forward in a shooting guard's body. So he is a kid that, you know, I mean, he is the most athletic freak that you can get. If you want to swing for the fences, that's a swing for the fences. Because if he does learn how to shoot, he could be great. Like, he has the potential to be great. A lot of these other guys, like Dante DiVincenzo, is not going to be anything more than a role player off the bench. That's what he'll be. That's nothing wrong with that. If you're the seventh guy off the bench or the eighth guy off the bench, you come in, you can play 15, 20 minutes a game and shoot. There's nothing wrong with that. But the one guy in the list that does have the potential to be great is Zaire Smith because of that freak athleticism that nobody else in that list has.
Killen Olson from ArizonaSports.com, who is covering the draft, has covered the NBA, and like I say, lives it and breathes it and loves it. He's joining us here on the Burns and Gambo show. I'll ask both you guys this question. Okay, so rumor has it, reports have it, Trae Young slipping, Michael Porter slipping in this draft. Two guys that we know the Suns would covet and would like to move up. What future asset are you comfortable giving up in the name of moving up to get one of those two players?
Any of the first round picks you got going forward,
including Miami's?
Yeah,
that's tough.
I might want to put lottery protection on it.
Yeah,
okay.
Like just even if it's 1 through 7, just to protect it a little bit, just to give myself a little protection on that one. But look, I'd be willing to give up the Milwaukee pick. I'd be willing to give up the Suns' first-round pick next year. You could get cute and say it's protected 1 through 3 or 1 through 5. I mean, teams do this all the time. If you're like, look, I'm going to give you this pick, but this chance this could be the – if it's number one, I'm not giving it to you. So, you know, a team would likely do that because they'll – look at what Boston did last year with the Sacramento pick. I mean, they're going to end up getting Sacramento's pick next year. And they're picking 27th this year. They're going to be right back in the top 5 next year.
Sure.
You know, so – but you can pick – put protection. Look at what the Lakers did with the pick for Steve Nash. It just seemed to never go over.
Like, yeah.
So you could do, but I'd give up a future first to move up to get Porter Young.
It kind of ties into everything we've been talking about, because we talked about the top 8 and really looking at that spot and getting a premier prospect. If the Suns can get someone like Trae Young or Michael Porter Jr., we talked about the value at 16. Okay, maybe there's a swing for the fences guy here and there, but Jalen Brunson, Aaron Holiday, like a good backup point guard, maybe they're an okay starting point guard. Those are the types of picks you would be giving up in this scenario to go get that guy. Now you've got Trae Young or Michael Porter Jr., you had DeAndre Ayton, Devin Booker, Josh Jackson. It doesn't matter about those picks. It just doesn't matter. Your team is young enough. It's time to win with those guys. You've still got guys like Bender and Chris developing as well. Who knows what their future is with the team, of course. But you don't need to worry about a pick at 18 or 16. If you can move up, you don't have to. You shouldn't look at it like moving up 9 spots and we're giving up 3 first-round picks. It's like, no, you're giving up 3 first-round picks to have this core 4 of tremendous young players. And now it's time to win 40 games soon.
I think we're all on the same page. If you could move up to get one of those guys, you give up 16, you give up 31. 31 is kind of worthless, and you give up a future first. All right, no big deal. So really, what are you giving up? I mean, you're not giving up a future first.
Yeah.
That's what you're giving up, and you're hoping that pick is somewhere in the 10 to 15 or 10 to 20 range, so it doesn't hurt you.
I know this is just totally a guess.
Yeah.
Spitball it for me. what percentage chance do you think that happens tomorrow? That the Suns give up 16 to get one of those sliding guys?
There is so much that needs to go right. Gambo knows this better than anyone in this building, that there's so much that needs to go right just for a trade to happen, let alone a trade to happen on draft day, let alone for a trade to happen on draft day when a team is up or is about to be up in the draft. The Suns want to do this. They want to move up. I don't even know if it's for Trae Young or Michael Porter Jr. Those are the two names we're hearing. But if those two guys are off the board, I still think they want to move up and make sure they get their guy. Maybe it's Gilgeous Alexander. Maybe they don't think Zaire Smith is going to make it to 16. They want to move up. It's really, really tough to get done. Danny Ainge reportedly offered 4 first-round picks for Justice Winslow and got shot down. That's something that we've heard, and it just happens sometimes. So I would put it at 40%.
I'd go even less, 20%.
Okay.
1 in 5 chance that you can move up.
Okay. Kellen, we look forward to reading your stuff at ArizonaSports.com. You've been producing all sorts of content on ArizonaSports.com. We look forward to it over the next 24 hours or so, all right?
Thanks for having me.
We appreciate it. You got a Kellen Olson from ArizonaSports.com here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Now you can join Gambo and I live on Friday from the Coyotes Draft Party at Wild Horse Pass Hotel and Casino. Clayton Keller is going to be on hand to unveil the team's new official third jersey. We're watching the NHL draft unfold. Visit the events page at ArizonaSports.com for complete details. The hair salon proved to be the end for Eric Bledsoe in Phoenix. It's another kind of salon that's actually helping the Diamondbacks this year. We'll explain why next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
You know, you guys saw his tweet last night. I gave him a call last night and asked him about that tweet and, you know, just to clarify what he meant by it. And he said he was at a hair salon. It wasn't about the Suns or anything related to the Suns. He said he was at a hair salon with this girl and he didn't want to be there anymore. So I don't believe that to be true.
Any excuse or opportunity we have to play the Ryan McDonough, Eric Bledsoe hair salon soundbite, it just makes me laugh. Like to think, seriously, to think those words were actually spoken by an NBA general manager in the most prestigious basketball league in the world.
And he said he was at a hair salon.
First of all, I mean, I was talking to him that day, so I know he was at the hair salon. Because I talked to him, like, where are you? Because I'm at a hair salon with my wife. And so I talked to him that day before the tweet came out.
Right, right.
So I knew he was at, I know for a fact he was at the hair salon because he called me and we talked. That's one. Two, what dude goes to the hair salon with his girl? Like, man, that takes forever. Like girl's hair is that's a long time.
Yes.
Hey, I'm going to drop you off and then I'm going to go run 10 miles. And then I'm going to work out, and then I'm going to go to the ball game, and then after the ball game, I'll come pick you up.
Or better yet,
like, dinner.
Those all sound like fun things to do instead of being at the hair salon. You know what? I'm going to drop you off at the hair salon.
Pick you up in 8 hours.
I'm going to go shave my head with a cheese grater, because that actually sounds like more fun than sitting at you at the
what
hair salon.
Dude goes
and I'll come
to the...
pick you up when I'm done.
I would never, never go to the hair salon or when my wife gets her hair done.
He
never.
He was at a hair salon with this girl, and he didn't want to be there anymore.
That's an all-day thing. Bye, honey. I'll see you tonight.
See you later. I'm going to go.
Gotcha.
I'm going to go do something else. Literally anything else but be at the hair salon with
you. I'm going to drive up to Flag. I'm going to go feed the goats, and I'm going to come back.
Exactly.
You still might not be done.
Exactly. The reason we're playing that soundbite has nothing to do with Eric Bledsoe. It has nothing to do with Ryan McDonough. It actually doesn't even have it to do with the Phoenix Suns. It has to do with Archie Bradley admitting that he is a regular, and I'm sure they appreciate the plug. Archie Bradley is a regular at Desert Nail and Spa in Arizona, where he gets his nail worked on.
Nail. Not plural.
His nail.
His one nail.
On.
Not like all of them.
Here's the deal with Archie, okay? And while Eric's hanging out at the hair salon, Archie's hanging out at a nail salon. Archie Bradley has a cracked nail that he's been dealing with all year long. He gets a fake nail put on his nail, and he estimates that he has gone through 55 fake nails just to get him through this far into the season.
Wow.
Okay. The last road trip, he said, I had it replaced 4 out of the 6 days. And here's the reason why. Curveball, he throws it. It's a real good one, right? It's down. His curveball usage is down to 13% this month. It was 18% in the month of May. Last year, he threw his curveball 20% or more in 5 of the 6 months of the season. So 5 of the 6 months of the season, he's throwing this curveball 20% of the time or more. He hasn't come close to 20% this year because of his nail.
For the nail.
18 was the highest. Last month it was 13. He said that it's been a challenge because he puts the stress on his four-finger nail, kind of digs it into the baseball, and because he has a cracked nail, he needs a solid nail to be able to dig into the ball when he throws it.
Has the nail ever come off while he was pitching?
I have no idea. The fake nail?
Yeah, the fake nail.
I don't know.
Because if it comes off, then you have nothing to dig into the ball with.
Quote, I've gotten really deep into the nail world, Bradley said. I feel like I've got a lot of knowledge, and it's just something, at least probably for this year, I'm going to have to continue to grind with. It is what it is, and hopefully I'm on a program now where I know what I need to do for the nail to stick together. Bradley has gone recently with a thicker replacement nail because he's found that they last longer. So he's literally like,
okay, there's stuff that you can put like, there's stuff that
you
can.
Are you texting your wife about this?
Yes,
you are, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah, you're texting your wife about this.
Okay, yeah, my wife's into all of this stuff. Hair, makeup, nails. I mean, that's why she looks the way she does. There's stuff that you could put on your nails to make them stronger. Like, there is stuff that you can literally put on your nail. It'll strengthen your nail.
Sure.
I wonder if they're doing that, fam. Forget about the fake nail. There's stuff that you could put on your own nail to make it stronger.
Sure, but if you're using that nail every other day, every third day, digging that nail into a baseball before you throw it 95 miles per hour or 80 miles per hour, however fast this curveball is, that nail might not heal until you stop using it. I mean, you might have to stop using it for a week or two to you can paint all the goo on it you want.
All-star break.
Yeah, you can paint all the goo on it you want, but it's not going to heal if you're using it to that extreme of a level every third day. Digging your nail into a baseball like that, you can put all the polish on it you want. It might not heal until you stop using it for a week or two. I don't know. I don't know the first thing about it.
Think
nails.
He gets a pedicure when he's there? Hey, while you're working on a nail, can you...
Have you ever had a pedicure?
No.
Oh, don't knock it until you tried it.
The article makes it sound like he really only gets the one nail done.
Like he walks in there and he just gets the one nail done. My wife took me to her pedicure place.
Yeah.
It's great.
My wife goes to a place called Pros. Uh-huh. One's in Scottsdale, one's here in Phoenix. Pros, that's where she goes to get her... She loves going to get that stuff.
Very relaxing.
Before we went on vacation.
You put your feet in a little hot tub right there.
I don't know if I want people touching my feet.
Oh, touch away. Knock yourself out.
I just don't know that I...
They'll even put a game on the TV for me. You know,
Weird with people touching your feet?
Not at all.
No?
Not one, but
Jordan,
you get...
could you do it?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it.
Andy, could you do that?
Okay, so it's just you.
It's just me.
It's not like you're the one touching someone else's
feet. I know. Is it ticklish?
No, it's not ticklish.
They're not.
They have a whole wall of feathers that they come by and tickle the bottom of the foot.
Coochie, 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 coo. No, it's not coochie, coochie, coochie.
My wife says
so.
You need to go with me.
You should
me.
Go.
You
it's awesome.
Go get a pedicure.
Oh yeah, it's awesome. Suns Insider Report.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Suns Insider Update.
7 years we've been doing this show. I don't think we've ever talked about pedicures or manicures like that. Maybe this will have something to do with the Suns. Maybe it won't. But Stephen A. Smith on ESPN, quote, from what my sources told me, Kawhi Leonard met with Greg Popovich face-to-face, looked him dead in the face, and told him, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be in San Antonio any longer.
All right, now we know. There it is.
So the reports that Kawhi Leonard wanted out. Last night, there were reports that Pop flew to San Diego to meet with Kawhi Leonard face-to-face. And according to Stephen A. Smith, who I imagine has some probably pretty good sources on this one, Leonard told Pop face-to-face, I want out. Now it gets interesting. Because if you're the Spurs, you have 24 hours before the draft to figure out what you're going to do about this.
Yeah, but you've already spoken to every team.
Probably.
You've already spoken to every team.
I hope.
You've got offers on the table, right? Hey, just in case this is true, here's what we would offer. Here's what we got. Now, you could trade them within 24 hours and get draft picks now, or you could wait till the trade deadline and get draft picks then. I mean, you're not in a rush to trade him. He's under contract for another year. You're going to want to trade him so you can get something for him, but you're not going to want to trade him for nothing. You're not going to be like, all right, I'll just take whatever I can get. So this will be, as the draft goes, that will be one of the things that we keep our eye on. Is it possible? Now, if we get to a certain point and we're at pick 10 or 11 and they haven't traded him, then I don't think he gets traded. I don't think Greg Popovich
Agreed.
Is trading Kawhi Leonard for the 15th pick in the draft. I don't think so. It's going to have to be a top 10 pick.
Yet another angle to watch tomorrow night when we come back on the Burns and Gambo
Maybe
show.
That's why they did it today.
Maybe.
I need to know now.
I need to know right now.
Because tomorrow's the draft.
Could be right.
The timing makes it seem like they would trade him tomorrow.
DeAndre Ayton is presumed to be the number one overall pick. What are his goals for his NBA career? He was asked that question today, and I don't know if Suns fans are going to love his answer or not. We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.